Welcome, everybody, to episode 327 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Mighty Mug himself. What is up, guys? Anything at all? Nothing.
I
hate it.
I can't make a cricket sound effect, so I'm just say crickets.
Right.
Yeah. And Dust Ball doesn't actually make a sound effect.
Or if you want to do the weeaboo thing, you can make the Japanese onomatopoeia for it. Which is actually supposed to just be sheen is just silence, but right. Like the you know it whenever you're localizing it, you really basically just have to do crickets because that's how it you know it's the no response.
Right. Oh, man. It's funny because I said that and everybody was quiet, and then all of a sudden everybody chimed in at once. What about you, Eric? What you been up to, man?
Playing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Pumping out those reviews, man. It's like a full-time job.
Pumping out the jams.
Still not done with this visual novel. It's a lot longer than I expected it would be.
Let's see. What about you, Brake? I know crickets, but, you know.
Yeah, crickets.
He's been doing crickets.
You know, I don't feel the energy in the room.
Cricket from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's it. Yeah.
What about you, Mug?
Nobody? God, you people suck.
I have never watched that show.
Oh, it's just so good.
It's actually been a really, you know, kind of a crappy week. Just work's been really stressful, and today I haven't felt well, and it managed to be the worst day of the work week.
Yeah, take a page from Brake's book, man. You know, masturbate more often.
And please, I do that at least once a day.
Well, you need to up your game, man. 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, he said more like me, not a normal person. He's saying like 10. You know, once before lunch, breakfast, dinner, then after dinner.
The bathroom.
Sometimes you gotta get up in the middle of the night and do it. You definitely have to stop, take a break from work, and do it in the middle of the day too.
In the bathroom, you know, whatever please, it takes, man.
Please,
you gotta wake and shake, you know.
Wake and shake. Oh man, there's the title of this episode.
Wank and shank.
Wank and shank. Wank and shank. Oh man, wake and shake. I like that, Break. That's gonna be the name of this episode. All right, well, let's get started with the news and get this shit done and over with. Eric, start us off, please.
All right, from Silicon Era, we have Japanese SRPG Ambition of the Slimes is now available in English. And it says here that Masaya Takahashi has rolled out a 2.5, basically the same thing. But update for strategy RPG Ambition of the Slimes which adds English text to the previously Japanese-only game. It says when you're starting a game, you'll need to go into the settings menu where you can select the language you like to play in.
Okay.
We talked about this game before, but it wasn't in English.
What kind of fucking ambition does a slime have?
Take over the world by apparently taking over humans' bodies and making them kill them.
It has ambition of like staying up in the corner and waiting to drop on an unsuspecting RPG player. That's the ambition of a slime. So, anyways, all right. Yeah, we have talked about this. It's got a RPG maker deal to it. You know, whatever.
Doesn't really look like it.
Yeah, looks. Bleh. I don't know.
Speaking of feeling,
it
the
looks
energy.
Simple.
I will try.
Maybe
want to come to America. Not well, now that it has English.
Have you options. Been paying attention, Breakman?
That's a silly question. When's the last time he paid attention? Well, we were just talking about masturbating, so yeah.
What grades did you get in school?
He is broke, you know, so.
No, this doesn't say, like, that it's going to be an English release. It just says that they added English to the game.
Well, that means you can play in English. It's good enough for me.
I can't download it from the Google Play Store, can I?
Yeah. You can get anything from the Google Play Store. It's not region locked.
I didn't. I would see that. Something I
don't know about
that
because I've had trouble finding stuff that's not
Well, I can say in my personal experience, I tried to download a pizza from the Google store and it did not work. I was very disappointed.
You can't buy pizzas on the internet.
The humor.
I'm not talking about buying a pizza on the internet. I'm talking about downloading it through the Google store. Yeah. I want to be able to, you know, to eat off of my phone.
Right. I agree with that.
Until we make like 3D printer technology that can be loaded from the phone,
yeah,
I think you're out of luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it also would have to be something, you know, some comestible. Materials used instead of that plastic.
Oh my god, we're getting into science fiction territory here, nerds.
Not really. Most science fact was once science fiction.
Yeah. All right, Mug. Let's go with some fiction here, nonfiction.
What do you mean nonfiction?
Fiction, nonfiction, whatever.
Okay. But Nate, looking back on the real world. And this one's coming to us from tinycartridge.com, which I don't think I've ever been on before. The Zelda A Link to the Past comic will be reprinted. Krakoom. Supposed to be thunder. There's a shot of the first page of the comic, and it has the thunder effect as Krakoom. Viz Media announced it will reprint the Link to the Past comic that originally appeared across a dozen issues of Nintendo Power back in 1992. The collection, an adaptation of the SNES game by renowned manga artist Shotaro Ishinomori of Super Sentai and Kamen Rider fame, will be released on May 15th. Pretty awesome to see Viz Media pick this up, considering how much that the collection that was released back in 1993 is going for. And there's a link... which is, oh, wow, yeah. Apparently it's the original collection.
$70-something.
$124.95.
I was going $70-something.
Oh, I see. But, yeah, either way, way too much for what's not really, it's like.
I think the original was, like, $13, the original anthology.
Damn. Yeah, and that's it.
No, not $13.30, sorry.
Yeah, $13 would be maybe. $30 is a hell no. I enjoy the Zelda games, some of them, I don't enjoy Zelda that much.
I enjoy Zelda that much, but I'm poor, so I can't afford it.
If you didn't spend all your money on weed.
Let me clear up something very, very quickly. Because I was listening.
It's like a certain somebody I know on Twitter that complains about games going to consoles instead of PCs. Like, maybe if you didn't spend so much money on your PC, you could afford those.
The argument is not. I mean, there really is no argument. As I use weed as medicine, so
I'm just giving you shit.
No, I know, but I need to.
I'm not actually.
Anyways, I recognize Ishinomori's work from Cyberwork 009 more. And there's other two. I didn't know Kamen Rider was a comic before it was a live action show.
Yeah. But no.
Unless he's talking about like monsters designs and stuff.
Just to clarify, Mug, what I was saying.
It's very Tezuka inspired artwork.
Last week I mentioned that I spent as much as I do. I mean, that lasts me a long time.
I get it. I'm just messing with you.
I think the perception is that I'm, just a pothead sitting in my room smoking all the time. It's not.
420 smoke weed every day.
Yeah, every day.
And bake.
Right,
and
exactly.
And shake.
I haven't done that in forever, man. I don't like to do that. That's not
Do you
cool.
use a vape?
I do. I have everything. Anything and everything. The problem with vaping is that's way too expensive. For like 1 gram, it's like $60. It used to be like $25, and it just got way too expensive. So,
And I'd just like to say something. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a guy named John Fugelsang, but political, humorist, and but when this reminder, because apparently today is Dick Cheney's birthday. John Fugelsang made the comment, Dick Cheney is a constant reminder that George W. Bush's greatest accomplishment was not dying in office.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's great. All right. Breakman, can you please read the next story? Are you there, Breakman? Guess not. All right. I'll read the next one then. Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds comes to us from Destructoid. Soundtrack comes to Club Nintendo Europe. That sucks about Club Nintendo before we get into the story, guys. Like, I'm...
Well, who knows? I mean, they still might...
Context, what happened?
They have no idea. Might be giving out something like this for their last month of awards.
Yeah, they're closing out the Club Nintendo, and I tried getting in to get something because I have, like, I don't know, 700, 800... points or whatever, but it was, I couldn't even get in. It was, they said they were going to add stuff in February, so I'm kind of waiting for February, but damn, that sucks.
I think what's going to happen is they're going to replace it with a better program that will offer reward points for games, period.
And, that'd be cool.
And, or it'll be tied to your Nintendo ID.
Well, what I would like is more like stuff they did in the first year, that special statue, which is so elusive to get now. Like, I really like, I mean, that's showing that your company's really going out of your way to do something really cool.
What I want is the soundtracks that have been exclusive to Japan.
That'd be cool too.
Until now.
Speaking of soundtracks, the Nintendo Club isn't totally dead yet, especially in the case of European version. Service already or recently added Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds soundtrack, which you can pick up for 3,000 stars.
Stars instead of coins.
Yeah. Not half-assed OST either. Contains 89 tracks. Keep in mind, Nintendo said it would add a few more rewards in February as the service started to conclude. So, they're expected to be digital. It's the physical stuff, I think, is going by the wayside, which really sucks, but what can you do? All right, break, are you back? Nope. Okay, Mug, you want to read the next one, please?
Sure. Inazuma 11, coming to us live from Silicon Era. Silicon Era, yes. Inazuma 11, go. Chronostones traveling to Europe in March. Nintendo of Europe is planning to bring the Inazuma 11 titles from Japan to to the PAL territories. Of course, that really doesn't apply anymore because, you know, hardly anything else. Anything's using PAL. But anyway, up next is
You're kind of breaking up.
It's like
up.
Someone put speech jammer on me.
You're breaking up. A soccer RPG that takes place in a world where the future organization El Dorado destroys soccer.
Oh, no.
Oh, you back? You guys back? Anyway? Anybody?
Am I still getting... yes, I'm getting copies of myself.
All right. I don't hear it on my
end. It's Frank's fault.
Yeah, just blame me. I'm going to hang up
now
on
you. Now I'm getting
guys.
Copies of Eric.
I'm going to hang up on you guys, and I'll call you right back. Inazuma 11, I see MXT in chat. Have you ever experienced the Inazuma games? They're those RPG soccer games that are extremely popular overseas. They're not so much over here. You guys back?
Yeah.
Sound better?
Yeah, I mean, I was getting, like, after about half a second, I was getting a copy of everything I said back at me, so I was like, I can't talk.
No worries, we're back. I was just talking about the Inazuma 11 series and how popular those games tend to be, although I don't think they're nearly as popular here in the States, but...
Well, soccer
well,
is
duh,
is
they've
not,
never released a single one until, like, last year.
No, yeah. But...
Plus,
look,
it's also about soccer, which most Americans...
We're talking about people.
I don't
here
give
that,
a shit about soccer, but I still want to play this game.
You got Eric, just chill. Let me talk, dude. People in this country import, dude. Like a lot of people, like there's cult followings for Japanese games that people import. You know, and I'm sure there's quite a few people that import these games. So
I don't know if there's too many people importing European games for 3DS because you need a European 3DS, and that's expensive.
MXT says soccer? What the fuck?
Although there is a Region 3 exploit that you can use to play import games.
All right. Well, Europe is going to get it in March, Chronostone. So that's that. Break, are you here?
And we are still waiting for 2, 3, and this.
Yeah. All right, Eric, go with the next story. For some reason, I don't know if Break's just on vacation.
Although I think when it comes to level 5 games, it takes forever for them to come anywhere. Because I'm pretty sure Chronosomes 2 came out last year.
All right, Eric, what's next?
Next, we've got from Silicon Era, 8-bit MMO finally hits version 1.0 after 14 years of work. It says the 1.0 version of the retro-style 2D MMO sandbox 8-bit MMO has now been launched after 14 years of development on the game. It says solo creator Robbie Zinchak started work on the 8-bit MMO back in 2001, but it wasn't until June 2011 that he released a playable build, and that since he's been working on the community to improve it, and the game has now 650,000 registered users and contains a user made world that is larger than the combined landmass of the UK.
Well,
let's see.
How about now?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Interrupting Cowman.
Well,
shut up.
I had to come back.
Move.
Holy shit. We should just call this the fucked up version of RP Grind.
I know. I'm sorry. I was having audio issues. I was here and I could hear you. Apparently, you couldn't hear me.
No, we could not, man. All right, Eric, finish up. What's going on?
I actually lost a train of thought now. Thank you.
Well,
larger than the combined landmass of the UK.
Yeah. But I was going to say, has anybody paid attention to that Iconoclast game that Joachim Sandberg is making?
No, I don't. Yeah,
it's taken him about 9 years to make that game.
Yeah,
and he's the only one working on it, so that's why it's taken so long.
I kind of like games,
and
like
he's
that.
Like a super perfectionist too. So of course, it's going to take even longer.
Yeah, I like people that are that dedicated that they don't want anybody messing with their vision and stuff, but. The downside is it takes a lot longer to compile and do those type of things. But, you know, whatever. I mean, that's cool. So, good on ya. All right, Moria, what do we got next?
From Destructoid. Years later, Torchlight 2 is almost ready for Mac. To be released Monday, February 2nd. You mean to tell me that 2012's action RPG Torchlight 2 is already available? Oh, I see. Bob's Runic game not abandoning the task then. Maybe I'll play it on my next flight. The Mac version of Torchlight 2 hits Steam on Monday. This solemn trailer says so much, but you'll still want to stick around for Falcor the Papillon. Be still my heart. I am also fond of Runic's official announcement email for the release date. Viewable below. Spooky, scary skeleton warning. Guys?
Yeah,
guys?
I'm here.
No, I'm reading it. This is like the, you know, it blows off the dust. Guys, yes, the Mac Torchlight 2 is here. Nearly, ducks. It will be here on Steam, Monday, February 2nd. Bada bing. That's all I had to say. Carry on. And then a link. Monday, February 2nd, Steam. Okay, cool. XO.
I had to restart the stream again, so hopefully that'll help with whatever issues. I think my internet connection's acting.
I think your stream's fucking up our call.
No, it's not. I think I'm having just internet issues, dude.
Like, yeah, too much. Your internet connection can handle.
No.
Are you trying to download pot?
I wish.
Is that what's going on now?
iPod.
iPod. Nice.
One more refresh, MXC, in chat. Son of a bitch. I think what it is earlier I was only getting like 2 meg, and now it's back up to 30. It should be at 60 like it normally is, but whatever.
I would totally torrent all my pot.
So would I, man. Shit. All right.
You get 3D print pot.
Break. You know what? That actually might work if you used hemp paper, man. That'd be kind of cool. All right, Break, what do we got next?
3D pot printer. I think Eric just invented a billion-dollar job right there.
Yeah.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Tavern RPG Adventure Bar Story being localized for Nintendo 3DS.
What?
A bar RPG. All right.
Like
Circle Enter... What?
Break needs to get a 3DS immediately.
Yeah. Circle Entertainment are publishing Adventure Bar Story, an RPG where you play as the owner of a tavern. Adventure Bar Story was originally created for smartphones in 2006 by Japanese developer Ride On Japan. The game was translated and released in English in 2012, and last year, Ride On decided to port the game to Nintendo 3DS as well. Mm-hmm. Wait, is this on iOS or Android?
Yeah,
or?
You can get it on smartphones.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to check this out then.
Although I don't know if they're planning on redoing the script.
The version of the game is now being released in the West English via the Nintendo eShop. In Adventure Bar Story, your tavern is under the threat by Gustav. Apparently, he's a prohibition type asshole. Mm-hmm. A ruthless businessman that wants to buy it. Oh, no. That son of a bitch. The only way to avoid being bought out is to turn your bar into a raging success. And that means fighting monsters to find exotic ingredients. What?
Sounds like an 80s teen sex comedy.
The game has over 400 recipes. Yeah, no. We're going to need a montage.
You got to collect all the recipes.
Yeah, 400 recipes.
Montage!
And the only time your party members level up is when they eat. What about when they drink? 2 years ago, Silicon Air had the opportunity to interview Ride On about Adventure Bar.
And well, they probably eat the cup, but they do River City Ransom, so it's all good.
The minute that you said bar RPG, MXT's ears perked up. He would be the first patron in that bar, man.
Even though he claims to be straight edge.
I know. He's exiled, by the way.
Adventure yes. Bar Story. Right,
maybe one day Frank will learn how to spell exile.
Whatever.
Adventure Bar Story is currently $1.18 on the Google Play Store.
That which does not get spell checked does not hurt me, Moria. So
no, I guess now we're just waiting. You're just waiting to exile.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Last story, Eric, please.
The last story is from SiliconEra.com. It says, question the warring world of Indonesian RPG Elven Tales, A Path Foreseen. This is Indonesian studio Elven Tales Games has announced its story-driven hack-and-slash RPG, Elven Tales, A Path Foreseen. It's currently up in Steam, Greenlight, and Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
It follows
the second
young
Indonesian game I've ever heard of.
What's the first?
Dreadout.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. It follows a young elf called August who dreams of one day being in the army. As he travels across the kingdom, August is confronted with battles between multiple factions with different ideologies. Brings him to question what he seeks in the notion of universal truth and discover what he believes in.
This game looks really good, I must say. The graphics aren't the greatest in the world, but I'm not a graphics whore, and
You are a graphics whore. Quit denying it.
I'm not. They have a certain charm to them.
Yeah, there's certain games that are charming, and there's some games that.
If you have to mention a game's graphics, you're a graphics whore.
No, Eric.
No, that's not a fair universal claim
right.
to make.
Look,
that sounds like something a politician would say.
Look, here's the deal. Like,
I only say it because he says it all
lawyer,
the time.
Maybe.
No, Moria has a good point. Like, some of these games look uber charming. This game looks charming to me. There are other games that look not so charming. They just look icky.
Are you sure you aren't substituting charming for quaint?
No, I am not.
No.
At all.
Like no. Like, just as an example, Okami. That game has an extremely charming art style.
Yeah.
You know, it's not whiz bang graphics, but
right.
it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks
or
great.
Or Zelda the Wind Waker.
Right. Right. That's right. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make
but
here.
Then they did the HD re-release of it and
instead of saying gorgeous. Game doesn't look great, then why can't you just say I appreciate the game's art direction?
Because I would be lying if I said that, Eric. If I say a game doesn't look great, then it just doesn't look great to me.
Art direction and graphics are way two different things.
That's true.
Look, this is what separates me from a lot of people. I'll give it to you straight. I'm not going to take the political answer. I'm not going to say something like that. Like, for instance, I could say for a game that I don't like the graphics, I could say, oh, that game looks – the game's graphics look interesting.
Well, here's how I make decision. Really well done 3D game versus a really well done 2D game.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm not going to compare apple and oranges.
Those games look crap
because it's 2D. Well, not 3D.
Everybody has their way of expressing things, Eric.
Well, there's also the fact that you can say, like, that doesn't look so great. It doesn't necessarily mean you're talking about what it looks like.
Right.
You know, it's like as an over, you know, it can also mean you're an overall impression of it.
But look, I'm allowed to have an opinion about graphics
you're not.
Too.
Nope. So,
it's the internet. You're not allowed to have opinion.
Look, if
someone
I say
is wrong on the internet,
Frank,
this is what I look. This is why reviewers get so much shit for things, because the good ones will say what's on their mind. It's all opinion based, right? And I hate looking at a review and somebody saying, "Oh, it like you said, this game looks quaint." What does that mean to the average person? It means nothing. If you say, "I don't like the graphical style," that's a different way of explaining that. So,
It's not. I mean, quaint.
Yeah, but doesn't. It doesn't really, you know, give you much to go on.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the term quaint has, you know, has implications that go along with it. I mean, at this
it's usually
point,
condescending is when I'm
not
when
necessarily
I see it, when I see it being used. It's usually
that's just your cynical self.
No, thinking. I don't see it as being condescending at all. I mean, like at this point, you know, looking back on like 8-bit or 16-bit graphics, like the classic Final Fantasy style, it's, you know, RPG Maker style. That's a very quaint look, but that's not necessarily a negative thing. You can do a hell of a lot with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you can also see a game like, you know, just for example, like the original PC Corpse Party. It looks awful.
If I was a reviewer like you, Eric, and I was writing reviews, I would have to qualify those statements, right? The fact that I'm here telling you my opinion, I mean, who gives a shit what I say, right?
Ain't that the truth?
Nobody's buying their game based on what Frank Branches says, right? I mean, Gripper and Dungeon Buster aren't sitting there on my every word saying, "Oh shit, I need to get this game because he said the graphics look good or they look bad or whatever." You know, so I don't have to qualify myself. A person like you who reviews games most certainly has to say, this game's graphics look a little outdated, even for today's measures, or whatever you say, you know, that's how you review, you know? I mean, whatever, you know? Anyways, I think we're past the audio issues now, guys, so we're in good shape.
You talk long enough to try to test it.
I have a question for you guys.
What's up?
It doesn't seem like any of you guys enjoy doing the news stories, so why do you do them?
I don't mind doing them. I mean,
it's just like everyone's just like, let's get these over with and out of the way. And then breaks Sunday in chat going, you guys missed the news. Dude. Right.
Frank's the only one complaining.
Let me tell you why. Because this is a service that we provide to our listeners, right? There may be listeners that don't see the same news that we do that get a story or two that they may not have known. We have a finite amount of time. And what we do in this show is conducive to that. If we have 35 news stories, it makes it extremely difficult to get to the other half of this the stuff. That's why I'm always constantly trying to keep us on track. Like right now, let's move on. What
maybe
you guys
you produce more confident for the show,
and then someone interrupts you.
Where it's all like whammy, 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 whammy.
Yeah, no, I'm
big money, no whammies.
Look. If we come up with new segments, I used to do that all the time, but I found a happy medium.
No, it'd be like a side quest podcast or something.
Yeah, no. If it becomes that big, then maybe we have to do something like that, but I don't feel the need for that. So any discounts this week? Anything that you guys have seen that has been outstanding? U-Break at all?
Baldur's Gate 2 is on sale on Android or Google Play Store for half off at $4.99.
If I remember, that game was pretty good. It was
that was really good.
I've always heard it's good, but I haven't actually played any of the Baldur's Gate thing. My first experience with BioWare was Knights of the Old Republic. Mm-hmm. Which I actually remember, I got that game on the Xbox for
that.
Like
is, that is also on the Google Play Store, but it is not on sale currently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I got the original Knights of the Old Republic on the Xbox for $15. And I was like, holy crap, this is some of the best $15 I've ever spent.
Yeah, it's a
pretty
good
for
game.
A long time. That was the best Star Wars lore.
Oh, in case you want to support the Kickstarter for this
like
game,
Clone Wars show.
Mm-hmm. Eric, go ahead.
In case you want to support the Kickstarter, their goal is just 30,000.
That's, yeah.
That's Kickstarter for what? For which game?
The Selva Tales game we've been talking about.
Oh, okay.
Dungeon Buster says Demogorgon wipes for the win. Exactly.
That game, it's awesome. It looks like the smallest reward tier that gives you the game key would be $10.
Well, that's not bad. Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, like, I know that the Baldur's Gate stuff, they had the Dungeons and Dragons license. The last Dungeons and Dragons games I played were the old SSI Gold Bucks games. Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like those. Pool of Radiance and
Curse of the Azure Bonds
and stuff. Yeah. I loved those games.
Pool of Radiance was really good.
They didn't have much in terms of role playing to them, but you know, I actually really enjoyed the combat system in those.
I also remember how incredibly pixely they were even back then.
Oh yeah,
Dungeon Buster says
they were still fun.
Dungeon Buster says the expansion was like, here's one of the worst bosses in D&D. So have at you. Yeah, exactly.
What boss? What Demogorgon?
Demogorgon, man.
I don't remember what that is. Like when I think like the worst possible thing you could face in D&D, I think Tarrasc.
Or fucking beholders if you're low level, man.
Well, no, do you remember what the Tarrasque is?
I don't remember, man.
This unique creature that is essentially it's what you as a DM pull out when you want to kill off a party.
You mean dragons don't do that?
Well, no, this was far worse. Mm. This was like several hundred hit points. And with a billion attacks,
you can pretty much handle anything depending on your level in D&D, or get out of it. You know, there's ways around a lot of things. And if you have a good dungeon master, they're not going to kill off your entire party. There's usually always an out somehow, some way.
I just always thought, why the hell would anyone want to bring this creature forth unless the DM is just bored with the campaign, like the characters have gotten too powerful, and it's like, okay, now you're all going to die and we're going to reboot things.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says Throne of Baal was also great. Yeah, that was – I love that game too, man. It's been a while. So if you want to know about the Demogorgon bug, just search it on YouTube, man.
I have a deal, sort of.
Oh, go ahead.
Only for this week until the next eShop update, you can get Metroid Prime Trilogy on the Wii U VC, Wii VC. The digital Wii games that you can get right now, you can get that for $10.
Damn,
I've still got a disc of that I don't think I've ever played.
And the upside of getting it digitally is that the load times between going certain doors is significantly reduced. It's like almost non-existent. Oh,
that'd be nice.
If I had a Wii, I'd jump on that deal.
Because I remember the game. Sometimes it takes like 10 seconds to load an area.
Yeah, actually,
I'm not talking about the elevator load times. I'm talking about like going through an actual door.
Yeah, I have a question about that. Now, I don't remember if the trilogy, if it had where you could use like a GameCube controller,
no,
or you had to.
You had to use Wiimote and the nunchuck.
Screw that.
Yeah,
basically just the Wii game, there's no additional control support.
That sucks.
I don't have a problem with it. It was tough. I mean, I played Corruption that way, and I had no problems with that.
I got the trilogy pretty much. I was like, because basically like they had it, and it's like that's apparently kind of hard to find. So maybe I'll just go ahead and pick it up. But I got to the Spider Ball Guardian in Metroid Prime 2, and I was like, you know what? Fuck this. And I turned the game off, and I never went back to it.
Mm.
One of very few games that's ever made me do that.
That boss fight is kind of bullshit.
It reached the point where it's like, okay, I'm not having fun. I'm just getting pissed off. I need to stop.
I hate that in video games where you get so mad that you're just like, fuck this. I'm not having fun. You know?
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, and I'm a fan of like games like Ninja Gaiden.
The Xbox Ninja Gaiden was a fantastic game.
Yes, it was. But the thing is, like, those games are really friggin' hard, but they're fair. It's like I don't mind losing as long as I feel like I have a chance to win.
If you work at that game, you can really master it.
Honestly.
It's very fair.
Good. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not nearly as good at it as some people. Like I know a guy who can beat all the game, you know, all the Ninja Gaiden games on Master Ninja without dying. Like you are a freak of nature.
I remember that game being completely unfair because of the camera angles, if I'm not mistaken. Like it was.
No, that was the second one.
Actually, to be honest, I found the camera to be slightly better in the second one.
And people say that, but I had a lot more problems with the camera in the second one because I was taking a lot more off-camera hits.
You also kind of learn the how it works. And once you get a feel for that, in addition to it's like it kind of becomes part of, you know, dealing with the just the onslaught of enemies. Because I never really had much problem with like off screen, you know, with like cheap hits in that game. It was just like I always saw I overcommitted to an attack or something like that, and it's like shit, I'm dead.
Yeah.
All right, break. Do we have any Twitter questions?
Not really questions. More, we have some Twitter comments. Okay. At Freak5Chaos says, yes, he did create the petition, whichever petition you were speaking about last week.
Ah, fuck you guys.
And then he said, he called you Massive Frank. I don't know if I'm ever going to say that again, because now that I said it, that really comes off way racist. And
yeah, it's like, I closed this up for you real good, man.
Yeah, I was wondering, I was thinking, is he trying to say Messiah Frank? And then I said it out loud, and I'm like,
either way would be correct, right?
And by the way, that line that I just did, that wasn't just me being obnoxious. That was actually a quote from The Crow. Yeah.
What'd you say? I didn't hear it.
I close this up for you real good, Massa.
Yeah.
I guess, that's, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's from The Crow.
Yeah. I love that movie.
He also says, different publications of The Hitchhiker's Guide have little differences. So I didn't have my normal issues with the book adaptions. But my big problem was Zaphod's second head is supposed to be on his shoulder.
Yes, I hated that. It's Zaphod, by the way.
Zaphod?
Zaphod. Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Mm. Okay. And there's actually a Twitter comment from Rin Centauri. Said, RP Grinders and the Total Control, be another podcast, makes work less boring. Well, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. That's really cool comment. That's the best comment.
Ren lives in Germany.
Best.
Thank you, Ren. And that's
so we have a German listener.
At RinSatori. So everybody follow him.
That's actually the
I've actually tried to. Yeah, I can listen to some podcasts at work. I found that I can't listen to this one because I get it's too distracting. I can't tune it out. It's like I have to be able to just kind of absorb it in the background because my job is just very detail oriented.
I think that's a very good compliment too, Moria. That's cool.
Yeah, it's like it probably is for the it probably is. This is like it's kind of aggravating. It's like I would like to be able to listen to it while I'm working, but I can't.
Right. Well, we appreciate that, Rin. That's actually a really huge compliment. It's one of the biggest compliments that we've ever had on RP Grinders. That's why we do the shows, to entertain. All right, anything else?
At least I think he does. I might be getting confused with someone else.
Hey, break. Anything else?
No. You soliciting hookers, and that's about all I saw here.
Hey.
Oh, actually, there is another one. This just came in. I'm sorry. No, okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Go for it.
This one just came in from Flabby Sausage. It's been a while. At Flabby Sausage says, what 2015 games are you guys most excited for?
It's an interesting question. I don't know what's upcoming.
Halo 5.
Xenoblade X.
Yeah, for the 3DS, right?
Xenoblade X for the Wii U.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right, Eric. That's high on my list, too. I'm hoping the new Link game comes out, too.
The Link game?
Well, you know what I mean. Zelda, whatever.
Go on, let's graduate from calling it Zelda.
Why don't we?
The Legend of Link. Screw Zelda.
Yeah, exactly. Zelda, you know, whatever Nintendo has to offer. Maybe we'll get a new Metroid sometime soon.
I'm pretty much, you know, I enjoyed Metroid Prime. Metroid Prime 2 pissed me off, and I played a tiny bit of Other M, and I was like, I don't like this.
I love those games.
When and if, you know, I want to see Metroid done up would like, with really nice modern 2.5D visuals. Like, give me
like a proper Metroid, but in 2D.
Fucking yeah. Dungeon Buster. I see you, Dungeon Buster.
They'll probably just make it 3D character models and 2D play field.
The fucking...
Yeah, 2.5D, like Bionic Commando Rearmed.
No.
Oh, that was good. That was a good game.
I wouldn't mind
I was not a big fan of the sequel, though.
I'd rather have a high-quality sprite version. But
I wouldn't mind seeing... games like that, like kind of returning to its roots time. But I like the Prime series quite a bit. I really enjoyed the first one, man.
The first one was great. But like I said, the second one, I was like, I'm not enjoying this one as much. And then when I got to the Spider-Ball Guardian, I was like, fuck.
That's like the only low point in the game, though.
Yeah, but it was also a point that I couldn't get past, and that was not, and
also another low point in the game is that you have to look for the artifacts again.
Yeah, but it's like after about a dozen attempts, and I was like, I'm just, I'm not getting any better at this, and all I'm doing is getting angry. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm playing this game to have fun. I'm not having fun. So
you didn't get enough of the upgrades. If you get those upgrades, it makes it a lot simpler.
No, it's just terribly designed. You have to go through a stupid maze and there are electrical fields everywhere if you go out of bounds, and it's easy to get yourself killed.
Yeah, and it's also very easy to lose all of your progress on a section.
Yeah,
that was what really that was like the part that, I mean, it's just a very badly designed.
I didn't have a ton of problems with that game. I remember a couple hairy parts.
Doesn't mean they don't exist.
I'm not saying that the game itself had all these problems. That specific piece of the game was horribly designed.
Also, I think that the last boss is kind of bullshit.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the case
in the first Emperor one. Ying. Yeah, that thing.
All right, let's move on.
Well, wait, did everybody answer his question about 2005?
Oh, 2015,
I meant.
Yeah. All right, Mug.
The only game that's coming out next year that I'm like, ooh, I really want to play that is.
What do you mean this year?
This year, yeah.
Yeah, holy crap. Yeah, and it's almost, January is almost over.
But, yeah, thank God.
But anyway, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. The only thing that I'm just like,
still need to play Ground Zeroes.
Another one that I just thought of is Dying Light, which is out. I need to.
I've heard some good stuff about it, but I don't know anything about it.
It's overhyped, like every other game.
Looks good.
AAA games.
I saw the Rad Brad playing a lot of that. I think it looks good. I'm okay with that.
I mean, like, what I'm wondering about is like what kind of horror are we talking here? Are we like more in the vein of classic Silent Hill, which is what I'd be into, or something more like The Evil Within, which is
It's neither. It's more like Dead Island, which I thought.
In fact, it was made by Techland, who made Dead Island.
Yeah, it's fine. It looks good.
I thought that was Deep Silver.
No, Deep Silver just published it.
Oh, okay.
It looks good.
I did think of another game I'm looking forward to this year. New Battlefront, Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
It's been forever. Game. It's about time.
Yeah, the first Battlefront, I remember.
Fucking fun game.
Didn't it skip an entire generation?
Pretty much, yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Eric.
The longest generation in gaming history, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking forward to, Eric?
I already said.
Okay. Well, let's move on. What
unless you want me to say more.
If you have
you
more.
You can if you want.
It's up to you.
I'd also add Zelda to that and Persona 5.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I still need to go back and finish playing Persona 4 Golden.
I want another goddamn Dragon Quest, regardless of what Mug says. Bring it. All right.
Play Dragon Quest Heroes. Import that shit.
I want them to drop the prices of Dragon Quest games on the Google Play Store. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're way too high on iOS too, man. Dungeon Buster says Dying Light's pretty fun, so there you go. All right, I'm going to start what we've been playing this week. I've been playing this game called Framed, which Eric told me that they were having a free sale. In other words, it was free on iOS, and I rather enjoyed it. It's a really short experience, but if you remember, there was this game called Comic Zone, where you kind of were in a comic.
I remember.
That is the best Sega Genesis game ever made.
It's also really
I hate the music
hard.
In that game. It's so
it's
terrible.
Fucking hard, but I love that game.
Yeah, it's
fucking
it's included
love
on the Sonic's Best Genesis Collection or whatever on the 360 and PS3.
Yeah, this game is nowhere near as hard. Like, you could pass it in probably, an hour, two?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the farthest I got was probably the third stage.
Yeah, Unbound Saga was of a very similar vein, but it was just, like, it was a straight beat-em-up, like, Double Dragon style, except, this you know, one, you went from panel to panel.
Yeah, this one's a little different.
It looked ugly as hell.
Yeah, it wasn't very pretty.
This one's more of a puzzle stealth game than anything. You have to kind of avoid all the cops. There's no fighting or anything, but it's interesting and really cool. I rather enjoyed it.
Oh, so the name framed is a double entendre.
Yeah, for sure. Because there's, like, you move each frame of the comic, like, because it plays like a comic, sort of, from left to right. You know how comics do. And you have to kind of move them around and get behind certain things and not get detected by the police who are after you. And it's, I don't know, it's got, kind of got a cool noir atmosphere, I guess. So it's pretty cool. All right, Eric, what have you been playing?
I've been playing more of EF, still getting through that, and hopefully a review will be up soon. Mm-hmm. And been playing Majora's Mask 3D. I can actually say that now because the preview's up.
Yeah.
But, and something else.
I've never played Majora's Mask, but I saw like a comparison video. I was like, wow, they really put some work into this. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I don't think I was given like a gag order on even talking about this game, but all I know is I don't know how certain review embargoes work, but I'm going to assume it's okay to say what I've been playing, not talk about it though. Monster Hunter 4U for the 3DS.
Nice, cool.
Are you, well? How about this? Are you happy with it?
I'm still fairly early in the game, even though I've spent like 4 hours with it already.
Yeah, let's not endanger Eric's review code status. So let's move on. Break.
Let's see here. I've been playing
Plants vs. Zombies 2.
I'm only mentioning it now rather than last week because I'm pretty sure the reviews will be going up around the same time Zelda will.
Fucking Marg, man. What else, Break?
Let's see. Final Fantasy 13 2.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Love this game. Even though the story makes absolutely zero sense, it's still a lot of fun to play, so I don't give a shit.
The fact that game exists makes no sense.
Oh, poor Frank. He's butthurt by the game.
Fuck that.
I decided to play a new game since I've got this backlog of Android RPGs I haven't played. So I started playing Band of Monsters.
Frank's just really mad because he can't beat up Snow some more.
That's probably true. Go ahead.
I think you can do that in Lightning Returns, can't you?
Yeah.
Good. I'm going to have to get that then. Kick his sorry ass.
Never played Returns.
Band of Monsters. Let me see here. The first like 5 to 10 minutes is literally story. Mm-hmm. This is a fucking Android game. These games are supposed to be, you know, pick them up, put them down type thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have to go through a fucking story before you can play this game, which is stupidly ridiculous.
How dare they play?
You can't. It doesn't save at any point. So if you have to start over, if you have to put your phone down within this like 5-10 minute, however long opening sequence it is, you get to start over every time.
I can see where that would be a little.
That's one bad thing about the story sequences in Tears to TR 2 for the PS3, because even though the game will let you save after like certain amount of time has passed for a cutscene before the next cutscene starts, it won't let you save in the middle of the cutscenes. And some of these cutscenes will take about an hour because it's a visual novel before it's a strategy RPG.
Jeez, that sucks. All right.
It wouldn't have been so bad if the story wasn't kind of annoying. But when you actually get into the gameplay, basically you're kind of a summoner type guy. You recruit monsters and you level them up, and then you can actually combine them sort of like Dragon Quest monsters type thing, which is kind of cool.
That is cool.
So the story plot almost made me quit, but I'm glad I kind of stayed with it. And I'll probably be grinding for a while because, you know, grind my monsters all the way up, and then I don't like taking a half-leveled monster and combining it with another one. I gotta get them all the way up to their full potential first, you know. I don't want to waste them. I feel like I waste them if I don't level them all the way up first. Mm.
I could see that.
In every game, not just this one.
Yeah. All right.
That's what I'm doing. That's exactly what I'm doing in Final Fantasy, pretty much, because you recruit monsters and you can level them up and then feed them to other monsters to make those other monsters more powerful. So,
hey, what else have you been playing, Break? Anything?
That's it. That's enough, isn't it? God. Yeah. Jeez. God, Frank. God.
Fuck. I'm sorry.
I'll do what I want. God.
All right, Mug. You. What have you been playing?
I haven't actually been playing a lot in particular. Since I got my Elgato, I've been doing kind of just a lot of just general experimentation, making sure stuff works. But the only game I've played in any significant amount is Plague Incorporated, mm-hmm. which I found I really, really enjoy.
Oh, that's the game where you're trying to kill the whole planet, right?
Yeah, you basically you start off as as some form of pathogen. Like it starts off where the only thing you can do is you can be as a bacterium, and you as your and you can evolve traits to increase your there are three stats for how infective it is. Like how communicable it is, its severity, how severely it affects the people who are infected with it, and its lethality. And essentially, it's a balancing act. The more countries that you infect, the more DNA points you get, which enable you to evolve more traits.
My son is a fucking expert at that game, man.
I'm not that good at it, but I've just found I just have a lot of fun with it. It's one thing that's you evolve traits and it's for instance, you evolve the sneezing trait. It increases your how communicable the disease is. And the thing is, if you evolve something, it doesn't spread. It's as soon as you change one trait of it, it's affecting every single person in the world who has it. Mm-hmm. The idea is essentially you have to kind of balance things out to where because if your disease is too lethal, then you can actually kill off all of your infected hosts before they can transmit the disease to anyone else. Like I had one game where I'd killed off everybody in the world except for 20,000 people in Iceland and 4,000 in Greenland.
And you lose that way. I mean,
in order to win, you have to annihilate everybody. All of human life.
Yeah.
We were talking about games that were last week we talked about games that were designed for a touchpad interface. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a game that honestly I think works better with a touchpad interface than it would with anything else like a mouse.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see
because
that.
You can tap on an individual there's a couple of very basic menu options that you can do, but a lot of it is when you hit. When a new country gets infected, a little bubble will pop up. Mm. You hit that, and you get some bonus DNA.
You can
also get stats on how badly each country is affected. It's you tap on a region, and then you can you see this is how many are dead, this is how many infected, and that kind of thing. It's extremely well designed, and I'm kind of surprised because I don't normally like that kind of game because it's almost kind of tower defensey, mm-hmm. or at least more. I guess a little closer to real time strategy. And one of the things is once you evolve traits, you can also take them away and mm-hmm. recover a little bit of DNA to use for other things.
Yeah.
So there's it's this neat little balancing act that you have to play through. And the game on at least on Android is free to play.
Mm-hmm. It's free on iOS too.
Yeah. It has this kind of setup for free to play that I don't mind, where everything that you can buy can be unlocked mm-hmm. by playing the game. You just have to be good at it.
I see, that's the thing. It's a hard balance for those developers. That, I mean, they don't want to make it super easy if they give it away for free, you know? So, yeah.
Well, I mean, and the thing is like, in order to unlock the next play, like you start off with only bacteria as your basis. And the next thing is virus. And then there are some things like, you know, like genetically engineered stuff or prion diseases, things like, you know, but there are seven different.
To unlock
all of them. But if you beat the bacteria at normal or brutal, then you unlock the next one.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And by each time you get it, there are also little boosts that you can get for starting up, you know, by winning stuff. And like it's obviously pretty well designed all around.
Yeah.
Do you think the game could translate well to the 3DS or the Vita?
Yeah, I could see.
Vita maybe, but the screen, it's like I don't think it would work all that well with a stylus, just because like the things like for instance, like Africa is broken up, you know, it doesn't have every single country. There's like southeastern, you know, like part, you know, there are several countries, you know, kind of grouped into one area, just because like you have tapping each individual country to get information on them could get, you know, really difficult. But I don't think I don't know if it would work all that well on the 3DS because the resolution is not that high, and you really need to be able to touch. They would have to really redesign a lot of the interface to make it work on
the Vita. Though you could use a capacitive pen, you'd have the resolution.
Dungeon Buster says there's also a freeware game that came out before Plague called Pandemic 2. I believe we used to have that available on our website, wickedradionetwork.com. I had to take it down, I think. I think that's one of the games that I had up there. There were like three or four games that you could play on there.
You inspired me. I'm downloading this game currently.
Yeah, Dungeon
Plague Bush. Inc. I will be playing soon.
One thing that I really like about the game is that you can name your plague.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can, yeah, and you it can be up to like 10 characters, but you know you can put in whatever you want. You can do like, you know, veganism has, you know, wiped out the entire world. You know, it's like.
So, all right, I think I got everybody on what you're playing. Let's do.
Oh, yeah, I forgot one game.
All right, what?
Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 1 for the PC.
All right, Eric.
No, I'm gonna review that for Honest Gamers.
Cool. How dare you? You're exiled, Breakman. Stinko of the Week.
What did he say?
You just said, I'm going to call my...
Kills everyone. Prank. Yeah.
Yeah, kills everyone. All right, Eric, you're Stinko. I'm just going to go on down the line here.
Don't have any.
All right. Moria.
My Stinko has just been just a really shitty work week.
Yeah, that's... I mean, work in general is just, you know, you could pretty much every week. All right. What about you, Break?
I've got a couple, but the one I really don't want to talk about right now. The other one I'm going to say is this measles epidemic that we're hitting. Oh, fuck them.
What's going on?
The measles epidemic out in out from Disneyland.
Yeah.
What? Is it people that went to the park got sick, or did employees get sick?
And it's spreading, basically.
Yeah, it's spreading.
It's very... What people don't know about measles is it's one of those very transmissible diseases.
Yeah, it's transmissible.
I'm a little drunk. My apologies.
No, it's all right. But no, it's basically you have these, you know, California is one of the most heavily anti-vax states in the country.
We've talked about Jenny McCarthy and her bullshit before, and she's a lot responsible for this.
Yeah, although, I mean, I'll place the blame more squarely on Andrew Wakefield's shoulders.
Andrew Wakefield and Jenny McCarthy.
People weren't listening to him. People in America were listening. Mothers in America were turning on their televisions in the morning and listening to Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, Jenny McCarthy.
And people like her.
Jenny McCarthy is responsible for a lot of deaths in the United States because of people that didn't get vaccinated. So fuck her.
And you know what? Yeah, and you know, I think I've mentioned this before. It turns out that her son didn't actually have autism.
Right. Yep. Her son did
like,
not.
Yeah, you know, and I told her, it's like I tweeted at her. It's like, you know, so it turns out that you've caused the deaths of, you know, tons of people for no reason. You're a monster. I don't know how you sleep at night.
Well, it's the same with Oprah. I mean, Oprah recommends like The Secret and all
fucking Dr. Oz.
Bullshit. And Dr. Oz, who's a fucking quack. Like he's.
Well, the thing is, he's not completely a quack.
He's just a shill. That's all.
Something that really bothers me about this too. The people who like listen to her about like not vaccinating their kids too are more than likely the same people that were up in arms over Ebola last year.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And they'll be up in arms again in like 4 years when Ebola comes back up again.
Yeah. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. I saw this thing, a tweet from a doctor. It's an actual conversation I had with a patient. It's that, you know, I want an Ebola vaccine for my kids. It's like, well, that doesn't exist, but we do have the flu shot. Oh, we don't believe in that.
Oh my God, really? Holy fuck, man.
I'm like, I got my flu shot and you know, fuck anyone
anybody dumb enough not to get one. Sorry for your luck.
And you know what? They always say, well, it never works on me. Maybe that's the case. Maybe you've gotten flu shots and they haven't worked because the strain evolved or whatever.
That's what people don't understand. They're not educated.
Yeah, this year's flu shot was actually found to be less effective.
Yeah.
Like instead of like the 96 to 98% effectiveness, it was something like 85. That's still a lot better than actually getting the fucking flu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people don't understand that there are so many different strains of flu. There isn't just one flu.
You know,
you could be vaccinated for a few flus and still get the flu because it's another strain. It doesn't mean that your protection didn't work. It meant that you came in contact with a different virus.
Right. Maybe the batch that they – like this year, what – Moria was referring to. I think the numbers are actually a little lower. But even if they were at 50%, I'll take that. I'll take 50% chance to not get
it's like
the flu.
You know, a quick needle in the arm for to cut my chances of getting a really nasty disease in half. I mean, people don't understand. People think the flu is just a really bad cold. No, the flu can kill you.
Yeah, well, it's most likely like younger people and older people.
It's still one of the deadliest diseases. I mean, and the flu is still responsible for the deadliest pandemic in human history.
Yeah, no, you're right. It the chances are not likely for, you know, middle-aged person or younger.
The thing is, like, what a lot of people don't get is that, you know, there are a lot of people out there who can't be vaccinated. Like a friend of mine's a cancer patient undergoing chemotherapy and radiation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Her immune system is shot. And so it's like if she happens to be exposed to someone who's unvaccinated who's carrying it, whether they're symptomatic or not, you know.
You're putting them in danger by not getting yourself inoculated.
Yeah. I mean, like she, you know, it would very, you know, it could very easily kill her.
There's no question. Get your flu shots. Yeah. If anybody's listening that is on the fence about that, just get it. Like, there's no conspiracy. There's no mercury anymore in the goddamn, you know, shots.
And there was never any. And there was never any threat from it anyway.
No, I know, but it's like it's way less than the amount of mercury you get in tuna. You know,
it's also like, not the same kind of mercury.
Right, it's different. But I'm just as an example.
Yeah, there are things called isotopes.
Well, no, it's not that. It's like isotopes are radioactive atoms. But no, like there's ethyl mercury and methyl mercury.
Yeah,
and it's like the difference is between ethyl alcohol and methyl alcohol. Ethyl alcohol will get you pleasantly drunk. Methyl alcohol will blind you and kill you.
No, I know what you're saying.
Which is another side effect of the Prohibition era. A lot of people don't know about because of Prohibition, a lot of people went to make their own booze. A lot of people died because of that mistake.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. A lot of people.
I didn't know that, but that doesn't surprise me.
Look, along those lines, as far as vaccines go, this is more of a sweeto. I'll do my stinko in just a second, but they are very close to coming up with a 10 year, I've heard varying reports of a 10 year to a lifetime flu vaccination. Because they've isolated the part of the flu that never changes, and it really? Yeah.
I mean, I heard something about it, but I hadn't read the articles. But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, that would be amazing.
Look, I'm simplifying this.
From what I heard, that only covers a certain amount of flus, but most net of them.
Yeah, right. So, but still, yeah. Where can I sign up for that? You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm doing this in a nutshell. I can't remember the whole articles that I've read, but they're basically, they've isolated the part of the flu that for the most part does not change, and they have a vaccine for that, or they're very close to releasing a vaccine for that. So flu is going to be like how, the polio virus was back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is one of the things about the flu virus is that it's a lot like HIV is of a similar nature. It's like it's very mutable. It changes so much, so rapidly.
Right.
That's one of the reasons so there are so many different strains of it, then, which is why there's no reliable, consistent vaccine. It's not like, you know, the polio vaccine, which, you know, the virus didn't change.
Right, right. But you see what I'm saying?
If you could
isolate even one part of the makeup of the flu and use a vaccine there, that's what they're doing in essence. So
can I just say one more thing on the measles thing?
Sure.
It was almost eradicated.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No,
it was on the verge of eradication.
Yeah, we were measles free a few years ago in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Completely.
But I'm saying, this was a disease that we were going to wipe off the books, that would never have to be worried about.
Well, that's not entirely true, Break, because they have retro.
Well, I mean, they keep samples of all viruses, but that's so they can fight them at some point,
right? But,
like smallpox.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Like what I'm saying, in everybody's DNA and in. If you look at the intricacies of DNA, they've found retroviruses in there. So I'm sure at some point in the future, they'll find, you know, the measles retrovirus in our DNA.
Well, retroviruses, it's very possible.
Yeah. So let's move on.
I need to get a shingles vaccine at some point, probably.
You're not old enough.
Ever had chicken pox?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
I thought most everybody's had chicken pox.
Yeah,
not nowadays. Most kids have the chicken pox vaccine. They never get it.
Oh, fucking lucky assholes!
I know. I got you.
Well, the nice thing about that is that if you never get chicken pox, you never get shingles.
Oh, chicken pox sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shingles is much much worse.
I know.
Yeah. Shingles happens when you're way older. I don't think you need to get one.
That actually happened to a coach recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I knew a guy that had
Terry Bradshaw had it.
I knew a guy who had shingles. He died, but not from that.
Yeah.
But he was like early 50s.
Yeah. You don't necessarily have to get that shot right away. I think it's like 40s and 50s.
So I got 10 years, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, all right, let's move on. My stinko, I just watched a video on Young Turks, which is – it leans left. So if you're a conservative listening to this show, it might not interest you. But I find a lot of the content on there that's, you know, kind of
– I don't think anybody listens to this show who's really conservative or really liberal.
You'd be surprised. Because
they'd have to hate us.
You get hate mail.
I know. We would get a lot of hate mail. No, yeah, exactly.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. There's nothing wrong with the conservative.
Well, maybe Frank
there's a lot wrong with certain.
Look.
I'm just saying that if they listen to this show, they would not be happy.
I can get – well, that's fine. I welcome the criticism. Feel free.
I know I sound like a mouthpiece for saying this, but I don't like – many aspects of conservatism, whether it's fiscal or it's social. Well, social, definitely, but fiscal conservatives still give me issues.
I've been on record as saying if the Republicans stick to their mission, like what they're
They preach and stuff, practice.
Right. Yeah. Then I might lean Republican, but they don't. That's the problem for the most part. So and I hate Fox News, so, you know, it kind of tells you where I stand. I'm not a libertarian. I'm not a leftist. I am what I am. I'm independent. I make up my own decisions, you know. So
yeah, fuck anyways,
only I don't register as independent, so I have voting power when it comes to polls.
I think basically what we're trying to be is not hypocritical, which is what both parties are. They talk out of both sides of their mouths in a lot of ways.
Fox News, absolutely.
Yeah, Fox News is to journalism as professional wrestling is to sports.
It's like what I've always said.
Don't forget to diss MSNBC, I'm just saying.
But I'm just saying. All the 24
Fox does.
All the 24-hour news networks have their serious problems, but Fox is easily the worst of the bunch.
Oh, it's the worst. It's absolutely the worst.
The thing is that it's a propaganda network when it advertises itself as a news network.
Yeah, if you don't believe that,
Bill O'Reilly on the air should be shot immediately.
I'm not going to go that far, but look.
Okay, how about we just shoot Bill O'Reilly and call it good?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of O'Reilly at all. I think he's awful. But if you want no further proof that Fox News is propaganda, just listen to their no-go zone talk that they talked about. I think it was last week or the week before. A bunch of bullshit. And they got called on it, and they actually had to apologize on air.
You know that thing about Michelle Obama, how she didn't wear the headscarf and everything like that when she went to Saudi Arabia, and all these people are all up in arms and everything. It's like, funny they didn't have that. They didn't have nearly as much this kind of reaction when Laura Bush did the exact same thing.
I'm not going to get into that, but anyways. Let me move on to my stink of the week. Young Turks did a quick story about how Comcast renamed a customer. His name was like Ricardo Brown, I believe. You know what they named this guy? They renamed him and sent resent him bills as Asshole Brown. They sent him.
I heard something about that.
Yeah, Asshole Brown was this guy's name, and you know what? I agree with the Young Turks. They. Comcast can pretty much get away with almost anything. You know, they can call their customers assholes. Why? Because they pretty much have a monopoly. And somebody will argue with me, well,
if
you
it's
got...
not Comcast, it's Time Warner, which Comcast now owns.
Yes. So, you know, it's like it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like, whatever. But
well, I just, you know, not completely playing devil's advocate, but as someone who has done time as the tech support for an internet service provider, he probably is a real asshole.
So what? I don't care how big of an asshole.
I realize that. I mean, from a customer service perspective, but
they wanted to end this cable service, and apparently they didn't want to take no for an answer. Yeah. So.
Yeah, there have been plenty of cases like that. There was a real famous case of a guy trying to cancel his service, and they kept him on for 20 minutes and didn't cancel his service. So it's like, fuck you, you know? Dungeon Buster's correct. Quick redaction. Comcast doesn't own Time Warner yet. They're very close.
They're going to.
They're very close. Like, it's super close. So, Dungeon Buster says that deal might get scuttled. I hope it does, because fuck that, man. How horrible would that be? I mean, Comcast already owns one of the
Time Warner is already shitty enough.
Well, I'm kind of jumping ahead to my Sweeto, but it is very relevant to the conversation. I don't know if you guys have heard about the FCC decision today,
where
they voted 3-2 to redefine broadband, if it's not a minimum of 25 megabits per second, it's not legally considered broadband.
Well, I guess that's okay.
That's no, that's a great thing.
That means Time Warner can't advertise its broadband services without changing its policies.
Basically the problem with Time Warner and all cable is they advertise what like the maximum is. If not everybody is logged on at the same time, yeah, maybe you can get that number. Mm-hmm. But when the more people that are using it, that number becomes less and less.
Also my upstream is pitiful.
This is a really good thing for consumers, because it basically means that either the cable companies are going to completely change their marketing, because there's an indelible association in most people's minds that broadband equals fast. If you're not selling broadband, why am I paying for your service? Mm-hmm. And they will have to change their marketing and or upgrade their, upgrade their services.
Why don't I feel that that might be an advantage for cable companies, because they could market different products and charge you double for something that they're already providing now? That might be a bad thing. I don't see
it working that way, because the thing is, it's going to essentially mean it's going to promote competition. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to fight harder to keep customers.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I know that the general
Google
thing
should move into my town.
Man, Google Fiber, please.
Yes, exactly. That's what I wish. Because you know what? Say what you will about Google, they've got their own issues. But man, there's one thing that they really care about: is the internet. You know.
Well, Google has as far as like gargantuan mega corporations go, mm-hmm. Google's pretty politically, socially, environmentally conscious.
Yeah.
Aren't they like the going best company to work for?
Yeah, them and Facebook, I heard, is really good to work for.
Yeah,
too.
And if
I know that corporations, for LG, I think they were rated as the best company to work
for. Yeah, I know they're way up there. And actually, I've heard that EA gets shit on a lot. And mm-hmm. Their whole thing about they're the worst company and it's like, honestly, I think that's kind of bullshit. It just shows where people's priorities are so misplaced. But I was like, it's a fucking game company. They're not doing anything that bad. Like compared to the BP or Exxon. Right. But but if you're in terms of just their inclusivity for LGBTQ folks, they're like the rated that one of the best in the in the entire country. Which is
I don't know. I think as far people's ideas of bad companies are misplaced. I agree with you, Moria, because but I can
the
see
general where, public is misplaced in general. Scary. Yeah.
People don't like EA because they have this thing about they buy up companies and then everything kind of falls sway to this. This corporate mentality.
And it's not just that. It's they got a bad reputation, years ago about the whole EA Wives thing. But that when you get a bad reputation, rumors spread. It's hard to get rid of something like that. What is, remember when the EA Wives sent that scathing email about not seeing their husbands and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I mean, but the thing is, that's.
But that was years ago, and people, they have a hard time.
It's also part and parcel of AAA game development. If you're working with a big studio, then when crunch time comes, you're not going to see home very much.
No, here's the thing about that, though. I think everybody's not understanding is a lot of these companies, and EA is a big on not giving their employees breaks and shit like that. That's a major issue. I know. At my wife's company, they don't even give a shit about breaks. It's like I don't understand how they get away with that shit. And EA has been guilty of that. Activision, all these companies have been guilty of that. If you're a big conglomerate, breaks mean nothing. The only company I've ever been that's been a big company that's been big on giving their employees breaks and lunches and shit like that is Sprint.
I work for a global. I work for a big global company, and they're really big on breaks. And the company I work for right now is the best place I've ever worked for. Mm-hmm. Just hands down, they treat the employees very well.
That's good. I mean, hang on to that.
This is a global corporation that I work for.
The place where I work, everything is very regimented. It's like that. You take break, 15-minute break at 10 o'clock. You take your lunch at 12. You take another 10-minute break at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It should be that way everywhere.
It's also the only place I've ever seen where you actually get off early on Halloween. Huh. They close the office 2 hours early on Halloween.
That's really cool.
I've never, ever heard of any company doing that before.
Yeah, I like that crazy. Because that's a safety thing. You get there before the kids are out on the street.
Oh, I get it. It's just I mean, they are really, really into celebrating Halloween. I was like, that's cool. They had an interdepartmental, like decorating contest, like who can make the best, you know, Halloween display in their their, you know, department's area, and the costume contest and everything. It was just like they really get into their holidays.
That's really cool. All right. Sweeto of the week. I'll start with mine, I think. Classic Doctor Who. I've been watching on Netflix. I'm extremely happy that they have him on there. I just have one minor complaint. They don't have a lot of the earlier episodes. Like, they'll have, like, for instance, today I was starting over from scratch with the first season, and they only have like four episodes from the first
season. Weren't some of the original episodes lost?
No, I think you're thinking of season three.
Yeah, I mean, I know that a lot of old BBC stuff was destroyed. I mean, like, they, you know, they never thought, like, we'll never need to rebroadcast this. No one will ever want to watch this again. You know, I know a lot of old BBC stuff was lost that way.
Yeah, no, you're right. There, I think it was season three, but no, there's much more season one.
I have to look in. I've actually never watched a single episode of Doctor Who in any way, shape, or form.
But if they've got
classic Doctor Who, I need to look up, because there are some episodes that were written by Douglas Adams. No, I'd like to check those
there
out.
There are those. I mean, you know, a lot of them are hit and miss, but there's a lot of good stuff with Doctor Who. I mean, it's worth watching just for the song alone, man. That intro.
I've heard that some of the early ones had some kind of really stuff that's like, for someone socially conscious nowadays, like, that's a little uncomfortable making, like, say, like sexist and or racist kind of stuff. That was just a product of the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Look, you're going to get a lot of that in a lot of series, right?
Well, I mean, the series has been going on in some form or fashion for, like, what, over 60 years now or something like that?
About 50. I think it's 51.
But, I mean, like, this, you have to kind of bear in mind the era in which it was made.
Yeah. Let me get through this. Doctor Who and Twilight Zone, the old Twilight Zone episodes are fantastic. Like, those
Twilight
two
Zone's
series.
Been on there before.
Yeah, it's good, man. I mean, a lot of those old Twilight Zone episodes are great.
Zone is a great show.
Oh, it's an all-time great, man. If you can find it, Night Gallery was really good too with Rod Serling. It came out a little later, but
I like the Outer Limits remake.
Yeah,
and that came out in like in the 90s, I think.
Yeah. There were several good anthology series like that. Tales from the Dark Side.
Oh, I love Tales from the Dark Side.
I mean, hell, like, actually, one that really has not stood the test of time is Tales from the Crypt.
It's okay.
I loved
it's
that just, series, and yeah.
I love Tales,
but it's like, wow, it's like you get this like 80s and 80s 90s cheese is really strong with this
it's
one.
Fine. I like that stuff, man.
I mean, it's still fun, but you like the one that has Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, for instance, where like, he shows up with the Crypt Keeper. It's like, you know, you want to be, you know, a pitiful weakling for the rest of your death, you know, and it's just it's extremely silly.
Yeah,
that is one of my favorite like openings. I love that theme music. I love that show until like the last season where suddenly it became a British show. I understood that.
I didn't mind it, man. It's fine. All those.
It was just weird. Like, there was a big like shift in the last season.
Look, there's never been a series in the history of mankind, except for maybe one or two. One of them being Breaking Bad. That I can think of, another one being The Shield, and maybe Game of Thrones, that have consistently been good through its run.
I wouldn't count Breaking Bad among them.
Oh, dude, Breaking Bad is my favorite of all time. It's the greatest series ever created, man. I love it.
I enjoyed the series, but it has its problems.
I don't think there's a such thing as perfect. I think everything has problems. There are warts on everything.
In my opinion, Breaking Bad is as good as it gets, man. Like, TV does not get any better than that, man.
I will say that Breaking Bad, when it was at its best, was incredibly good. But it also had parts that were like...
You have way too high standards, Moria. I mean,
I don't honestly, have way too high standards. Jesus. Because, I mean, the thing is, I enjoyed Breaking Bad. I didn't like the last season.
Oh, the last season was great!
No,
it was
it's
awesome.
Like, I'd be honest, I think we've discussed this before, but it's like, to me, most of season five felt really aimless. You had this build up to the big moment where, you know, the big secret is finally, like, someone finally figures out, you know, what's really going on there. And it's like, that was a great moment. But then they squander it, and the entire – and the, to be honest, the series kind of limps to a finish this biker gang thing.
I couldn't disagree with you more, man. Yeah. To me, that's as close as it gets to real life. You know, I mean, the thing is,
we're not talking real life. I mean, the entire premise is fairly ridiculous.
Can you let me just finish this point? We got to move on. I think honestly, and this is not because you're beating me in the debate, Moria, that we have to move on. We just have to move on.
But I am beating you in the debate.
You're not.
Just so we're clear on that. But yes, let's move on.
No, man.
All I heard was beating and bait. What was going on? Did I miss something there? You.
It just that biker gang shit at the end was fucking badass, man. That series couldn't have ended any better, man. It's like up there with the greatest endings of all time, like The Sopranos.
The Sopranos did not end well.
Yeah, I don't think that was the greatest ending of all time.
I disagree. I mean,
I don't hate it like people, like a lot of people hate it. Like, it's horrible and stuff. Like, I just don't think it was that great. I understand, like, it was basically like, you know, like their lives are just going on. Like, this is the way it is. But
one of the greatest
endings. It's kind of weird how they framed it.
One of the greatest endings of all time has to be The Shield. I don't know if you guys have ever watched that.
I've never seen a single episode.
Oh, man. The Shield is so good, man.
I think a show that I watched that I was like, I just decided to check out. It's, you know, drama / comedy was that turned out, you know, far better than I anticipated was Californication.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I've seen a few of those. Those are good.
Plus, season 6 has Tim Minchin all throughout, which is awesome.
All right, Mug, quickly, Sweeto.
I kind of went into mine already with the FCC thing.
Gotcha. Okay, Eric, let's go with you.
I have two.
Okay, go for it.
First one was something I found on a Twitter post, but this is from ncsxblogspot.com. You can get Dragon Quest Slime and Bioma Slime, basically Heal Slime and Cure Slime. I think it's called a Cure Slime. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong.
No, you're right.
Because isn't the Cure Slime the big fat one?
No, it's the like pinkish pink one.
But anyways, one's a palette swap for the other. But yeah. You can get these. It says here, rubber duckies are so yesterday. Or take a hold of the future with Taito's Dragon Quest Slim bath lights with float above the surface and emit illumination for a bathing experience, not parallel, or something like that. And you can pre-order them now, and they'll ship in late May. Yeah. And doesn't say anything about prices, but it's made out of ABS and PVC, so hard plastic.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Let's see. And if you want the dimensions, it's H11cm. That's the height, I guess.
11 centimeters.
That's 4.33 inches, I guess.
Oh, okay. Not bad. All right, what else?
It doesn't have a list of price, but oh well.
All right, what else?
And the next one is how someone's developed electronic glasses that allow a legally blind woman to see her baby for the first time. This is from ifuckinglovescience.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get into the specs here. It says, let's just read the article. It says, the woman in the video, Kathy Blates, has been legally blind since the age of 11. She suffers from a condition called Stargardt. Mm-hmm. Guard disease, which is an inherited degenerative disease that causes a significant reduction in central vision, but peripheral vision is usually retained. A progressive loss of vision is associated with the disease, which usually starts about between the ages of 10 and 20. And due to the death of light-sensitive photoreceptor cells in the central portion of the retina, which is called the macula.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, the electronic glasses are called eSights, and they combine multiple different components that can be adjusted by the user to enhance quality of the image reaching the eye. The headset, which is mounted on the lens frames, houses a high-definition camera which feeds real-time video footage into organic light-emitting diode screens placed directly in the user's eyes. Mm-hmm. Or in front of the user's eyes.
Well, that's cool, man. So
what religion can't do, science can. Yet again.
This is a separate handheld device will also allow the user to adjust and magnify the image so they can get the best possible picture.
Science for the win, man. That's awesome, man. It's really cool. There's been a lot of successful surgeries to make people that are blind see too. You have to have a specific blindness for it to work, but people have, you know, died and donated their corneas.
Although this stuff is expensive, it's like if you want one of these goggles or whatever, it's going to cost you $15,000.
I think that's worth your sight, though. Honestly, I mean, I'd pay it.
I wonder if there's a plan for that where you can pay in installments.
Probably
one eye at a time.
Yeah, exactly. All right, break. Did you have a sweeto?
It's college basketball season, and UC played a really good game last night against Stealth's team, but Stealth isn't here, so.
Oh, yeah. Also, I did find the price of these things.
$23, I think.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting to see Taito's actually still doing things rather than just being simply absorbed by Square.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Free-for-all. Eric, you had in here, and it's been in our doc for quite a while, and I want to get into it. I don't think we've done this, but it's...
Wait, I have a logical fallacy before that.
Okay, go with your logical fallacy first, and then we'll move on.
All right. I found this on the internet, and it's the fallacy of... This is a Wikipedia entry. It says it's the fallacy of relative privation, and... or the appeal to bigger problems is an informal fallacy, which is suggested that an opponent's argument should be dismissed or ignored on the grounds that there are more existing more important problems, despite these issues often being unrelated to the subject at hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, and boy, we see a lot of that with Gamergate, don't we?
Gamergate, yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of – okay, good example they use here. Like if you're not eating your food, for instance, parents use it all the time. You know, how dare you not eat your food? There are people in Africa that are starving. You know, I mean,
it was always China when I was a kid.
Never mind, the kid has reasons for not wanting to eat it.
Right.
Why did they always say, like,
even if they're not good reasons, there's still reasons.
Starving China. Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know.
Never understood that one.
China is for them, actually, it's not entirely untrue for them. Most of China is extremely poor.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't see this. Tom Brady used this in his press conference when he said, this isn't ISIS, no one's dying, in reference to Deflategate. That doesn't detract from cheating in football, you know? I mean, just because ISIS is a bigger problem doesn't mean that.
No, but you know. But I kind of do understand what he's saying, because the media has paid way too much attention to the Deflategate when there are so many problems in this world. I mean,
yeah,
granted, it's like his use of it is still a logical fallacy.
Yes, exactly. I mean, yeah, he should be punished for it, but the media shouldn't be concentrating on it. I mean, come on.
It's a perfectly legitimate thing to say to the media. I'm like, you know, it's a fucking game. You know, right. This is not, you know, there are actual problems of plaguing actual people. This is, you know, this is entertainment when you get right down to it.
It is entertainment, but you know what? If that's relevant to the American people, then it's relevant to the American people. You know what?
Well, the American people are largely idiots.
Well, I mean, we're idiots, but we're hard working idiots for the most part.
They don't get rewarded for it.
Yeah. It depends on where you're looking, because a lot of people are extremely lazy.
Look, I'm not
getting lazier.
I'm not part of the 1%.
Oh, they have another 1%. Word for this. It's called the whataboutery.
Yeah.
The what?
Yeah. A whataboutism.
A whataboutery? If you're prepared to go to war, protect Libyan civilians from their government, then what about being those? Then what about the persecuted in Bahrain? Yeah.
It just. It's a fallacy that people use. I know there are bigger problems in the world, but that doesn't detract from the problem at hand, right? Like, it's silly to compare Deflategate to ISIS. That's why the fallacy comes into play, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like we all have our pet issues, but I like to think that mine are slightly more significant than some game.
All right, Eric. And I agree with that, Moria. There's more pressing issues for everybody. Like, my pressing issue is money, you know? I mean, that's...
Yeah. Well, no, I just mean, like, just cultural/social issues. Like, I'm a very staunch conservationist. You know, like, mm-hmm. the thing about, like, with endangered animals and stuff. A lot of people are like, so? But it's, like, it's, you know, having learned a little, you know, having learned more about it, that, you know, there are wide-reaching, you know, problems that come from, you know, from the you know, widespread extinctions that we're dealing with. You know, yeah. I think it's a tragedy when a species goes extinct. You know, I think the world is poorer for it.
Right. Well, I mean, some of those problems aren't shit that we can readily rectify.
Especially since a lot of those, like, extinctions happened because we were not paying attention.
Look, here's something to think about. Like, I saw this documentary called Living on a Dollar a Day or something. And these guys went down to Guatemala. It's actually a really good doc. I mean, Guatemalans are living on literally a dollar a day. You know, it's I mean, that's a huge issue, but I have no say in it. You know, I can't, I mean, I can donate if I get extra money, but I'm not going to change the world with my money that I donate, you know? So, I mean, there's pressing issues that I just can't help, like global warming and all this other shit.
Well, yeah, there's a problem with the global climate shit changes and stuff. When our government's pressing on us, telling us we need to do a better job, we're not the problem.
Right.
Yeah. China is a lot bigger problem than we are, you know.
Well, we are a large part of the problem in that we provide all these breaks for the companies and stuff that are allowed to pollute without.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's that giant garbage patch that's floating in the Pacific Ocean.
Right. Okay.
Yes. That'll one day be occupied land, I'm telling you.
All right.
People will live on that one day.
Exactly. Fucking water.
But you know what I mean. Like the bigger the biggest polluters in the world are places like China, Russia, LA. You know.
Well, in general terms, maybe. But I think in terms of like specific incidents that are caught, you know, things like individual groups that are causing the biggest problem. You're looking at actual corporations. The big Exxon oils or the BP oil spill, you know, like they – and I mean because they – nobody talks about that. But, you know, the damage that's been done in the Gulf of Mexico is still catastrophic.
Yes. I'm going to close this conversation here. I mean this is something for another day, but it's definitely relevant and stuff that will probably be
it's not talking about.
Hey, Dungeon Buster says China's environmental record is horror so far. But at least they don't have Russia's radioactive river yet.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Eric, you had in here the odd, terrible part in an otherwise excellent game. What? Take us into this topic, please.
Basically,
the Spider-Ball Guardian.
Yes. Basically, like you're playing a really good game, and you get to a point where you're just like, why did they do it this way? Why is this game designed so poorly, this one place of the game, and the rest of the game is fine?
Or if you have a game where like everything is really great except there's one aspect of it that's like, okay, maybe I can deal with this, maybe I can't. Or like Ninja Gaiden in the camera.
This is where I say that we're horrible as you know, as we can get at like looking at things from our points of view. We are so spoiled as gamers, as movie watchers. I love the movie Avengers, right? There's some flaws in that movie as there is. Like,
that's lies.
Look,
I'm sorry.
Breakman, you said it. Look,
no, there are no flaws in that movie.
There's nothing perfect, right? I mean, there's some, little nitpicky gripes that I have with that as far as how it relates to the comics and, you know, all this type of shit. But overall, Avengers is one of the most fantastic experiences ever.
It's one of the things that I can't stand is that it's one of the reasons I don't care for TV tropes. I find the site incredibly annoying because it's like their entire thing is picking out, you know, like this has been done before here.
It should be called nitpickery.com.
Yeah, or like CinemaSins on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah. Every movie has its problems.
I still think that's funny, though, CinemaSins.
I like watching all the filming mistakes of, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and stuff, but I find that interesting, but still complaining about it, not so much.
It's like, okay. Yeah,
well, a lot of them, they'll just go into a movie, like, an admittedly good movie. Like, they'll go everything wrong with the Avengers in 17 minutes or less or whatever. And it's just like...
Right. And they point out nitpicky shit, which is fine, because I think that type of shit is funny. But if you're just going to sit there and complain, it didn't live up to the hype and all this type of shit. I mean, I hated this part. Okay, you hated that part, but what about the rest of the fucking 2-hour movie? You know, I mean, there has to be something that you like about the movie. I hate when people are always negative about something.
Right? I liked it when it ended.
I mean, like the one problem, the one thing I was just like, that's a kind of a cheap, it's a cheap get out clause thing that they did in Avengers was that, like, okay, we've eliminated the central problem. Now all of these other foot soldiers are gone.
Yeah, but that's nitpicky, dude.
Yeah, like, I mean, it is nitpicky. Like, I realize
especially
that.
Especially in a movie.
It's like,
you know?
It was like, that was kind of annoying, but it doesn't, it's like, that. It's a minor quibble with an otherwise really good movie.
Yeah, it doesn't detract from the rest of the movie. You're right. That's, I mean, what, did they just disappear? Did they die? What happened, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's, it's lazy writing, but...
It's not. It's not lazy writing. Maybe they just had to cut it from the script.
I was going to say, at that point, the movie was about 2.5 hours long. You know,
yeah. Well, I understand that. It's just like it's the kind of thing that if you really wanted to, you could write around. Yeah. You could find a way of getting of resolving it without.
Well, like somehow blowing up the ships somehow triggered their warp drives.
Look,
apparently those guys had warp drives on their vehicles.
That's what I'm saying. Like, quit being so cynical. You know, I mean, whether it comes to video games, like,
this remote control via Axis.
I'll give you a good example.
That kind of reminds me of the Star Wars. Like, people were upset about the new trilogy. It's like, why does R2 have jetpacks?
Who cares?
George Lucas.
RPG when you fight a boss and he has like companions with him, and you beat the boss, they all die.
George Lucas' explanation was the warranty ran out.
Right. Who cares? Who cares?
The warranty ran out.
As explanations go, as justifications go,
was just an old-ass jetpack that he took from his dad and he never upkept it.
Look, real quickly, I'll give you an example.
It was his undoing.
I'll give you a real quick gaming example, all right?
Although apparently he survived that little excursion getting cooked.
Let
me finish here. Look, Final Fantasy X, right? I mean, that's a pretty revered game. I mean, most people really love that game. There were some issues that I had with it. Like, I think some of the voice acting was atrocious. Some of the worst I've ever heard. I've talked about it on this show. It's just my opinion.
Almost never
I know,
played TurboGrafx-16 games.
Listen, we've debated that on this show before, and in my opinion, it has. I mean, certain characters like Waka, I thought was horrible. I think that's some of the worst voice acting.
Well,
I've ever heard.
To be fair, John DiMaggio was new to the gig.
I'm not going
to
get in a debate over this. I'm just bringing up examples.
No, I'm just kind of surprised. Look, I thought he was one of the more solid ones.
God, he's so bad. Look, I'm not going to debate it. All right.
Let me get to my point.
Dude, let him finish. Let him finish.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we only have limited time, guys. There's a point in the game design wise, where you have to take these spears and move them from one place to another. I thought that was bad game design, right? It was unfun. But,
puzzles, yay.
But to take away from the rest of that experience, I would never say that this game sucks because of that one thing. You know, it's just not what I do. You know, I mean, I never look at games in that. I think most games are magnificent, even if they suck overall. You know, I just think the fact that we're sitting here talking about video games on a podcast is just absolutely amazing. You know, it just, we have so much choice. We're so fucking, I mean, even a stupid ass piece of shit game like Superman 64. I mean, can you imagine when you first put that game in your console, you're like, I'm flying around as fucking Superman? Really?
Lex wins.
I mean, come on. I mean, we're just too picky. I mean, we've talked about it before. All right, let's do our plugs, guys. We got to get out of here. So I'll start with Breakman this week. Started with you, Breakman.
You can follow at @break_man, at RP Grinders, and at Stealth, and you know, 123 underscores.
Yeah.
123, right. Math. Yay.
All right. Is that it?
Sorry. Right. I'm a little nasally. I apologize.
That's all right. Let's go with you, Eric. Go with you next.
All right. You can find reviews that I've written at sites like BostonBastardBrigade.com, TotallyGN.com, and VogNetwork.com, and soon to be HonestGamers.com.
All right.
Wait. Is it HonestGamers.com or soon to be HonestGamers.com?
No, HonestGamers.com.
Okay, I was going to say, because that actually sounds like a really promising soon to be HonestGamers.com.
Like, ethics and journalism.
Dishonest gamers. Non-ethical gamers. All right.
We need another podcast. We need a dishonest gamers podcast now.
Actually, it's about ethics and game journalism.
Yeah. All right.
Game. Here we go.
Yeah.
Anyways,
disease name, Frank.
How dare you?
There's also my YouTube channel, Funny T-Man. And my Twitter account at EricRPG.
All right, Moria.
You can reach me on Twitter at MoriaMug, MoriaMug.
All right. Real quickly, WickedRadioNetwork.com. Please check it out. There's going to be more exciting stuff coming soon. The Ustream thing, I'm going to get worked out. I think I'm working on a plan to get our own live stream shit up and going. I think I've kind of, talking with the webmaster, I think we can do it. So no more shitty Ustream ads, no more shoddy connection bullshit, hopefully.
How about a working chat?
The chat works.
The chat cuts me off every time.
It's because you suck. You're not active enough, I think. All right. The chat I like quite a bit. I mean, I don't know what else to do with chat, just an IRC deal.
Yeah, I just – the client or whatever, the Java client just doesn't like me.
All right. Whippix and I have a new show out called Just Roll With It, WIT. If you check that out on iTunes, Stitcher, Wicked Radio, hopefully soon, stuff like that. So tell me what you guys think of that show. It's just us talking pop culture and other shenanigans, weird news. You can imagine some of the subject matter that we talk about, sex and all that other stuff. So,
Frank begins in Brazil. Frank has infected its first human.
Someone's playing Plague Inc.
It must evolve using DNA points to infect more people.
Look, Gripper and Dungeon Buster says the stream was better. So thanks, guys. Appreciate that. And chat's fine, Gripper says. So it's all you, Moria. All right, that's it for this week. Until next week, everybody stay safe this weekend. We want to see you here next week. Until then, we are out.